Over the course of the summer months, our elders and pastors spent quite a bit of time fasting, praying, meeting, talking, sharing, and planning for the future of this church. In 2010, we did exactly the same thing and established a 10-year plan. We're halfway into that 10-year plan now, with this year being 2015, and so we felt it important to take a step aside and say, God, what are we doing? How are we doing with it? And most importantly, is it according to your plan? And so for the summer months, we spent a lot of time challenging one another. What we're about to present this morning certainly is not the vision of just one person. All of our elders and pastors, collectively what we call shepherds, and their wives, have unanimously agreed to this vision. Further, it's been presented to the deacons, and they have as well unanimously ratified this vision as a plan and way forward for our church. Before we head into the specific plan, I want to set a biblical basis for a reason to have a vision and to have a plan. Book of Proverbs chapter 11 verse 14 says, "Where there is no guidance, the people fall." Proverbs chapter 20 verse 18, "Prepare plans by consultation." Proverbs 21 verse 5, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage." And Proverbs 29, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Without a plan, we would just be wandering aimlessly and sort of doing a hit or miss type ministry. And I believe we see biblically and scripturally, which I could develop much longer if we wanted to, why it is important to have a plan, hear from God, spend time listening to the Holy Spirit, and then executing that plan. We can show all throughout the Bible where God laid out to his people a plan, a vision, a way forward, and then it was about their faithfulness and following on to that plan. We desire to be faithful to the vision that God has given us and the plan and the way forward. So very simply, our vision for 2020 has been and will continue to be to prepare people for eternity. We hope that everything that we do as part of this church has that as a component of it. Whether it's two or three people meeting in someone's home, or whether it's gathering together on Sunday morning, or commissioning missionaries that go forward, our goal, our function, our plan is to be preparing people for eternity in all that we do. And for us, that means two individual things. Number one, the world is lost without Jesus Christ. There is a vast number of people just in our community alone that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are prayerfully planning and praying for God to bring us more unbelievers. Jesus said the fields are ripe for harvest, and we pray for that harvest to come through our ministry here at our church. And if not through us, we want people to know Jesus, whatever that is in the community. We work together with many community ministries that we'll talk about a little bit later to help prepare people for eternity and get them to know our Lord Jesus Christ. Preparing people for eternity is also a discipleship process, specifically helping those who have a profession of faith and belief in Jesus, then to grow in that faith, to not stay on a level plane, but every day to be growing closer and closer and becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's exactly how we intend to carry out that vision of preparing people for eternity. We will emphasize seven core areas of ministry for our church. And this doesn't mean that we won't be doing ministry in other areas as the Lord brings opportunities before us. I'm a big believer in the fact that if somebody comes forward with a plan and an idea and a way to minister to a specific group of people, hallelujah, Jesus, we'll pray for you, we'll anoint you, we'll set you forward and go in that ministry, whatever that may look like, however the Lord impresses that upon your heart. However, the main core emphasis of our church will always be, at least for the next 5 years, in these seven key areas. We believe these are the ministries God is calling us to put our major emphasis toward in terms of personnel and resources and volunteers and finances, budget, toward these areas. So let's begin with our first plan. Our first core area of ministry is missions. And you'll notice, by the way, everything that we do here starts with Scripture. Every ministry has to have a biblical basis, a biblical foundation. We start with God's Word as our authority. It is over this church. It is over me as a pastor, Pastor Kerry. It is over all of our individual ministries. It is our guidebook for all that we do. So everything that we do has to have a foundation and premise within Scripture. For missions, our biblical premises comes from Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, where Jesus came to his disciples and he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am again with you always, even to the end of the very age." Our missions right now is centered in three primary areas. In 2015, we commissioned about 20 people in missions work outside of our country to the Dominican Republic and Belize and one or two other areas. We have about 35 to 40 of our members who regularly serve in some type of missions work here in York County, whether that's at New Life for Mothers and Children, the York Rescue Mission, and others that we support with our volunteer efforts in York County. About 18% of our budget, nearly $50,000 in 2014, was given toward supporting missions work. And that is in addition to the $9,000 that was given toward school uniforms and in addition to all the money that was raised to send the missions teams to the Dominican Republic and to other places. If we added in those, it would be well over 20% of our budget would be dedicated toward missions work. So we want to focus on our plans most of this time for where we're headed for the next 5 years. Our goal by 2020 is that 25% of our members would be doing missions work outside of York County. Certainly that will include the Dominican Republic, an area that is near and dear to the hearts of the people in this church, but goes beyond the Dominican Republic. There are people in need even within our own country. And so we hope and plan and would like to re-begin a U.S.-based missions work. It will start most likely with our youth group doing some local ministry in the States, and then hopefully there'll be other opportunities for missions work within our country. When missionaries from Cape Town, South Africa were here this past summer, it touched many of your hearts. I heard from a lot of you from phone calls and visits and emails that you heard the vision that Jason and Jessica have, that they are training the next generation of people. Their ministry is to youth and college age so that their spread of the gospel would go beyond that. And I know that caught many of your hearts. They are in the midst of preparing for a orphanage there in South Africa. And I know some of you have indicated an interest in maybe going there to help participate in that. So pray about that. Maybe God would have St. Peter's come alongside of them in a way that we can support them there. We want to engage every one of you, every person who is a part of St. Peter's. We want to have engaged in missions in one way or another. I know all of you can't go to Africa or Dominican Republic with health reasons and other things, but there are opportunities and ways that you can be engaged, as simple as praying for. And I don't mean to minimize that, because prayer without prayer in these missions, it would certainly not succeed. But there's other ways that you can be a part of it right here, whether that's fundraising or doing other things to come alongside of our missionaries and be encouraging to them and be an encourager for them. We want to continue to support new missionaries. Our plan in the past has always been to adopt one new missionary per year that our church commissions and sends forth with our prayer and financial support. And God willing, we will continue to do that. And the key thing that we like to do when we meet with new missionaries that would like us to support them is we want them, when they present their plan, their vision for what God is calling them to do, to line up with our vision to prepare people for eternity. And there are some people that we sadly have to tell their vision for what they want to do doesn't line up with what God's vision for this church is. We like to see our missionaries feel like they're St. Peter's extended, and we want to feel that way as well. So whether that's in the Dominican Republic or Africa or the other places around the world, we hope that our missionaries have caught our vision and are part, feel very much part of what we're going to do. We are in the process, our consistory is entertaining one new missionary from Guatemala. Her name's Val Ludwig, wonderful, wonderful young lady. She's going down there to teach the children in Guatemala. She will be leaving in January for a full-time missionary service there. So you can be praying about that. Our consistory will be voting on her, possibly taking her on as a missionary at our next board meeting on Tuesday evening. We want to continue to partner with other missions group who are already successfully preparing people for eternity. And we want to continue to evaluate missionaries that don't line up with our vision. We have this year, at the discernment of our consistory, stopped supporting two missionaries who were sort of headed in a different direction for us. Doesn't mean that where they're headed is a bad thing. In fact, they're doing good things. But it doesn't line up with where God is taking us. And so we've freed up resources not supporting them so that we can support others where we feel like they line up with our plan and what God is calling us to do. We will continue our efforts within the Dominican Republic. In March of this year, we'll be taking a team. So we want to, as part of that, continue to seek to make the people more self-sufficient by starting micro-business opportunities, by helping them raise and grow their own food so that they can be self-supporting. We want to, in time, transition so more of our work in the Dominican Republic is with Pastor Albert and his church, emphasizing the spiritual needs and the medical needs within the community there in Batay 9. We also hope that we'll have more trips to the Dominican Republic every year with much smaller teams. Tactical teams can accomplish much more in a shorter period of time. Teams of two, three, four, five people that will go and just hit on a specific need at a specific time, maybe even for only 3 or 4 days, and be able to accomplish an important mission that gets done in a short period of time and then get back home here. That was successful in 2014, one of the things that we learned, and we want to do more of that, capitalizing on that in 2015. So, summary of our missions as part of our vision. We seek to send our members to places outside of Seven Valleys to widen the spread of the good news of Jesus Christ. We work closely with other Christian organizations around the world to meet the needs of the people in those locations. While meeting their needs, we share with them the joy of knowing the Lord in this life and in the life to come. As we stated earlier, our goal is to commission 25% of our members every year to serve people outside of our immediate area, while every member serves our immediate community on a regular monthly basis in one way or another. So that's missions. Second is our small group ministry that we want to emphasize. The biblical basis for small groups comes out of Acts chapter 2, which says, they, the church, were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions, and they were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord was daily adding to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. The church in the first century started out in homes. It's where real ministry can happen, where real opportunities occur for people to study God's word, to pray for one another, to share life together. We have right now about 100 of our members, so between 50 and 60% of our regular members are engaged or active in small groups. Our plans going forward, we hope that every person will become engaged in a small group in one way or another. And we know that all of you can't because of work schedules, and some of you because of health reasons can't get to a small group. But again, our goal is that everyone would have some place where they are regularly fellowshipping and sharing and studying God's word together. We plan on an annual basis to have 2 church-wide studies where our whole church is studying the same material at the same time. And those studies will be the basis for the sermons every Sunday, and then it will be the material that the small groups will be working through together on a weekly basis. Our two studies will loosely be around the Easter schedule, and then in the fall when the kids go back to school will be the time frame that that will occur. And again, we hope every small group is in some way engaged in some type of service project. You're going to begin to notice a theme here that we want all of our ministries to be beyond the four walls of this building. We plan in the winter time to add a small group centered on young married couples. In fact, it's already begun and is going to happen here shortly after the first of the year. We hope that one or two older couples who've been married a long time would come alongside the younger couples and be part of that. We did a trial run sort of last summer with some newly married couples and some material that God brought to us, which was outstanding. So we want to use that, leverage that, and continue to teach that to our newly married couples. We hope to add another small group, or hopefully more groups, as we launch the Spiritual Growth Campaign churchwide study in the springtime after Easter, which this spring in 2015, the study will be on prayer, and I am so excited about this. I'm spending a lot of time planning and preparing and getting this church ready for it. At least seven local churches in our Southern York County area are going to be doing the same study at the same time. Every church will be preaching on the same themes. Every small group in these churches will be studying the same material every week. Isn't it cool how God is bringing this community together? And we're praying that more than seven churches in our area will be deciding to do these studies together. The culmination of that will be two community-wide services where the seven churches come together for an opportunity to worship, share, and fellowship together. Much more will be coming to you about that in the near future, right after the first of the year. We're going to really start our in-depth promotion to try and get as many people from our community involved in this as possible. Then our church will have a churchwide study in the fall of 2015, probably right now toward a study called The Explicit Gospel by Matt Chandler. We're not 100% sure, but that's what we feel God is leading us to at this point. On an annual basis, or at least beginning in 2015, and we're going to try this, we're going to ask our small groups to shut down for the first quarter of the year, and here's why. That is the primary time when our men's group and women's group are doing their major ministry. And so we don't want people to be overburdened with small group and men's group and women's group and then serving in some other capacity. Folks will get burned out. And so the wisdom is that we would shut down our small groups for that period of time so everybody feels freed to be involved in men's groups, women's group, and doing some service projects, except for the young married couples study, which I mentioned earlier, is going to launch right after the first of the year. So here's our vision for a big picture for small groups. It's to help our members grow in their personal faith through regular commitment and involvement with a small group that meets in homes around York County. These groups support one another. We pray for one another. We love one another. We honor one another. We hold one another accountable. And we teach one another the great truths of the scriptures. Our goal is to have every member actively engaged in a small group at least one time every month. So that's our small group ministry. It's been a hallmark of this church in the past, and we pray that more of you will get involved in 2015 and be growing in discipleship in your own personal faith. Our third area is men's ministry. The biblical basis for men's ministry comes from Titus chapter 2, which says, "Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us." The whole goal of men's ministry is mentorship. The older guys come alongside the younger guys and help them to grow in the faith. Right now, we have five groups who are meeting regularly, which is about 35% of the men in our church. The leadership group participations and sharing in the men's group are phenomenal and outstanding. The guys really feel cared for, feel able to come and share what's really happening in their lives and come alongside each other and help and support. That's what men's ministry should be about and what we pray that it will be about going forward. In the first quarter, we'll have a kickoff event for our men's ministry where we hope that our men will spend a day in service type work within our community, serving others and being able to fellowship and share as we do things for other people. And then we'll begin a study time about 6 to 8 weeks where all the men's groups are studying the same material. And we hope and plan to attend a national men's conference such as Iron Sharpens Iron, or there's a whole bunch of them around right now where our men can get away from York County, can get away from home, and be taught and fed and share and grow in relationship together. Our goal is that every man and young man will be actively involved in a men's group. And again, here's the continued theme that all of our men and young men are serving in some type of capacity beyond St. Peter's ministry here in Sitesville Road. So to wrap up the men's ministry with this summary, our goal is that we provide opportunities for men to mentor one another and to be mentored by one another. We provide groups for men to encourage and support and to grow in their faith together while actively serving the community in ways that express our devotion to Jesus Christ. Our goal is that we want every man actively serving in ministry in one capacity or another. So that's our third area for men's. Number four is women's. The biblical support for women's ministry is from Titus chapter 2 as well, which says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored." So again, the goal with women's ministry, like men's, is the older women mentoring the younger women through things like Bible study, through sisters of support that encourage one another, through prayer walking that is going on all around our county in different ways and in different places, and by having one-day events that help our women to grow in relationship with the Lord and relationship with each other. There'll be special activities, things that are planned to just help the women share and grow and get to know one another. We also plan to have some type of retreat event for our women. Sometimes it'll be a one-day event, like here at the church, and other times it'll be a weekend away kind of thing. We want to continue to expand our women's Bible study groups, providing more studies in different times, in different places, and doing different types of studies. And just like the men's, our goal is to engage every woman and young woman in a Bible study opportunity. So here's our women's ministry summary. We want to provide opportunities for women to mentor one another, to be mentored by one another. We want to provide support groups for women to encourage, support, and grow in faith together while actively serving the community in ways that express our devotion to Jesus Christ. Our goal is to have every woman actively serving in one capacity or another in women's ministry. So that's our fourth one, women's ministry. Number five, our youth and children. Obviously, they are our future. Biblical support for youth and children's ministry is train the child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Right now, we have three different groups that are part of our youth and children's ministry. First is our Sparrow, which is our grade 6 through 12. Then we have Adventure Woodlands, which is our Sunday morning children's ministry. And we have Adventure Riverside, which is our Wednesday evening children's ministry. Beginning with our youth, we have about 20 youth participating in our Sparrow right now that meets every Wednesday evening. We have three volunteers from our membership that lead the Sparrow, and we're hoping, praying, that God will bring one or two or more of you alongside of our existing leaders to help grow our youth and to help them in their faith walk. We want to see our youth begin to work on some annual missions project. Again, getting our youth beyond themselves to think about others. They will continue, obviously, to have weekly Bible studies. The Wednesday night ministry will be the core where they are taught God's word. And then have some type of fun activity once a month where the kids are have an opportunity to have fellowship and share together in some type of fun activity. Our adventure Riversides meets every Wednesday evening. We have 6 to 10 kids involved. It's led by Beverly Markey, and she's got a bunch of volunteers that help make that happen every Wednesday evening. Beverly's passion is that our little ones from first through fifth grade will know and grow in God's word. Moving on then to our Sunday morning children's ministry, break that down into two different areas. We have our Adventure Woodlands, which meets at 10 o'clock. It's led by four of our members right now, and we're averaging about a dozen or so kids on a weekly basis. Then we have our two nurseries, the children's toddlers nurseries and infant nurseries. We have three volunteers that head that up, and then many of you volunteer to serve on a Sunday. Hopefully you come and worship at 8 a.m. so that you can go and be in the nursery and care for our youngsters while their parents are here worshiping at the 10 o'clock service. Our goal with our children's ministry is to teach our young ones to know Christ as Savior and to guide our children to grow in knowledge of the Bible in both the Old and New Testaments. So the summary of our youth and children's ministry is that our youth and children are a vital part of our church family. We support them by praying for them, and please pray for our children and for our leaders. Pray for them daily, teaching them to live God-honoring lives and to be individually sharing their faith in Jesus Christ with their friends and family and with our surrounding community. Our goal is to work with parents to raise children that serve God their whole lives. Sixth, we will emphasize, it has always been a passion of this church to come alongside of married couples in one way or another. And we want to make this a core part of one of our seven areas of ministry. Hebrews chapter 13 says, marriage is to be held in honor. We want to honor marriage as part of our ministry and part of what we do. We have historically had, and we will continue to have, an annual couples event, Time Away. May not always be just a St. Peter's event, maybe things with family life and other events that are local, that are well done with national speakers and have a high visibility and with a good curriculum that is proven to help married couples grow in their relationship. We want to continue to see mentoring with newly married couples, those who are hopefully going to be part of the Bible study that will start up here in the first quarter of the new year, help them grow in their relationship with support to each other and support from mentor couples. And something the Lord has just started to do recently, there's several folks who are pretty good in budgeting, and new couples often struggle with finances in their marriage. In fact, the statistics show that 2/3 of marriages that fail because of money problems. And so I'm grateful for a few folks who have risen up to come alongside of those who are struggling in their finances, and we can help them through that. So here's our plan for married couples. We teach the sanctity of marriage as a covenant relationship between a man and a woman for a lifetime. We seek to provide opportunities for married couples to remain faithful to their covenant, first with God and then to each other, by providing marriage events, studies, and fellowship to help couples grow in their relationship with the Lord and with each other. Additionally, we seek to provide opportunities for dating and engaged couples to begin their relationship as a married couple in a way that honors God and teaches both the husband and wife to be servant lovers in their marriage relationship. So that's our sixth area of major emphasis in ministry for married couples. And then finally, worship. John chapter 4 says this, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We hope worship is something that all of you do every day in your home. It begins on Sunday when we gather here to worship at 8 and 10. We worship collectively here with music and scripture reading and prayer and Bible instruction. But we hope worship isn't something you do just for an hour on Sunday morning. We would pray that worship becomes a heart attitude for you in your daily life and walk with the Lord. Our plans for corporate worship in 2015, we will complete our study through the book of Ephesians in January, move on to a study on the book of Titus, then we'll have an Easter two-week study around Palm Sunday and then celebration of Christ's resurrection, followed by our church-wide and community-wide prayer study. And then over the summer, which I've started to talk to some of you about in conversation, this has gotten a pretty good enthusiasm, so you may want to begin thinking about this. Each week over the summer, I will be taking submissions from you of your favorite verse. I'll pick out the most popular 12 or 14, however many weeks there are over the summer, and each week the message will be around the submissions that we've received from you. What's your favorite verse? So begin thinking about that, and the most popular is the ones that we'll be preaching through in the summer. Then in the fall, we will have a church-wide study I mentioned earlier, hopefully, most likely, the Explicit Gospel by Matt Chandler. So to wrap up our worship summary, we seek to glorify God in all that we do and to teach others to enjoy a relationship with the Lord in this life and in the life eternal. We participate in corporate worship as families regularly while individually worshiping with our families daily in our homes. Now, there is a ministry in transition, and one which we've tried to emphasize in the past, and it's the grief ministry. We feel led to migrate this toward a community-based ministry beginning next year. In fact, we tried some things here in the fall with mixed success to try and get our community emphasizing grief. And we had two events that we scheduled, promoted amongst our 11 churches in the Southern York County community. And at both events, only 4 people came to those two events, despite lots of effort and investment and planning and preparing. So it's pretty clear that we have not yet found what God wants to do in this community to help those who are grieving. But we know it is so important. Those that are wrestling and struggling over the loss of loved ones, they are important to be ministered to. And so we continue to pray and seek the Lord of how to do that. So we will be continuing to coordinate with our 11 churches in the Southern York County area to provide some type of grief opportunities on a regular basis throughout the year. John Maxwell has famously said that everything rises and falls on leadership. And so we want to talk for a few moments about leadership at St. Peter's and how that's going to work. First, you should know that as part of this visioning and planning process, both Pastor Kerry and I volunteered to step aside as your pastors. We felt that we didn't want God's vision to be impeded in any way by either of us. And so both of us, Kerry and me, independently without talking to each other, submitted our resignation saying, if we are the ones that's holding St. Peter's back from what God wants to do, then let's bring in some new leadership, starting with the pastor positions. At the discernment of the elders, and that was not the case. The unanimous agreement was that Pastor Kerry and I should both stay and continue on in ministry. And so it's rejoicing. I didn't want to go, but if it was part of God's plan, and I know Kerry felt the same way, then we would move on and God would have something next for us to do. So the discernment of the board was, and the elders were in unanimous agreement, that we would stay on in leadership. As part of that, we want to see every elder and every deacon overseeing the ministries that we have, the 7 core ministries. We want an elder and a deacon leading each one of those ministries, working alongside of Kerry and me. And we want to continue to encourage our young men and women to become the future leaders. Again, you hear that theme of mentoring over and over again. Service and mentoring. Service and mentoring are the two main ways that we see God calling us to grow new leaders and to help all of you grow in your faith. There's a couple other ministries that we do that are very important to this church. We have a prayer chain where we have an opportunity, a privilege to pray for folks who are in need. We want to see that continue. We have an excellent, excellent library. If you don't avail yourself of the resources in our library, or if you haven't in the past, I want to encourage you to do that. Our library ministry spend lots of times looking at new books, and there's continually new resources being added to the library to help you grow in your faith. Every topic from parenting to marriage to discipleship to personal Bible study and prayer and growth are available within our library. If you love to have fun, our teenagers is a great group to have fun. They meet on Tuesdays. Thank you, Joe. They meet on Tuesdays, the second Tuesday of every month, typically in a restaurant. Brown's is their most popular location, and they are a hoot. Even though I'm not of the 55-year-old age, they welcome me in occasionally, and I always come away laughing and shaking my head from that group. So even if you're not 55, I'm sure you wouldn't be kicked out. You'd be welcome in to have part of the breakfast meetings and sharing with our teenagers group. I know many of you enjoy our mocha time, coming for coffee, tea, and some continental breakfast on a weekly basis. So we want to encourage you to continue to come to that, whether you worship at 8 and then stay for the mocha time at 9, or if you come at 10, come a little bit early and get your cup of mocha and fellowship and share together in our mocha time together. Next is our Community Church Witness Council, known as CCWC. If you're not familiar with that, that is a group of 11 churches in Southern York County from all denominations. We have Brethren and Methodists and Lutherans, and of course we're independent. We lay aside our denominational boundaries and some doctrinal differences with a single goal of lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ and promoting spiritual growth in our community. That's what we do. And we try and once a quarter have an event that brings our 11 churches together. Things like the National Day of Prayer, the first Thursday in May, we do the crop walk together and other things that seek to pull our community together, our faith community together here in Southern York County. We will obviously continue our Christmas in Loganville event. It is not so much a ministry. It is our biggest fundraiser on an annual basis. We raise just over $10,000 in one day each year, so it is a huge way, that we can support our missions and our ministry here at St. Peter's. And brunch is something that just hasn't seemed to fit as we've gone to two services. It hasn't been something that's been important to a lot of people. We've noticed that it's started to fall off in terms of attendance. So we have had our last brunch in November, and we will be discontinuing that in 2015, replacing it obviously with our mocha time. Okay, I've thrown a ton of information to you in the last 40 minutes. Huge volume of information, and I know there's no way you could absorb it all. Hopefully you'll take your bulletin insert. The sermon notes for today has the seven key areas of ministry listed there, and also the summary of each ministry. I would ask that you would put that on your refrigerator, post it at a place where you can see it, and pray for our seven ministries at least once a week. I pray for them on Wednesday. It's in my prayer journal. I pray for all our seven core ministry areas and the leaders every Wednesday. Perhaps you would set that aside. Maybe God will call you to pray for them every day. That would be awesome. That's one way you can get involved. But there's many of other ways you can get involved. I lifted up leadership needs in virtually every area. We need new small group leaders, new men's leaders, new women's leaders, new youth and children leaders. We need more folks to volunteer to help out in the nurseries and so on. Every ministry needs your support in one way or another. So please get involved. Use your gift to serve our church and to serve others through one or more of our ministries. God has, if you are a born-again Christian believer, gifted you with specific spiritual gifts and abilities, and God didn't just give them to you to keep for yourself. He expects and wants you to be using them to help others. So here's where we go from here. We want to hear from all of you. Again, we've thrown a lot at you in 35 or 40 minutes. Please talk to our elders, deacons, Pastor Carrie, and myself about how you feel about these things. We take seriously what you say. And it may not seem like it, but we prayerfully consider everything that you say to us. And we can't always do everything that everybody may feel led to do, but we do prayerfully consider it and take it very seriously what you have to say. We want to hear from you. So please call us, email, stop by, share with us. We both, Carrie and I, love to go to breakfast. It would be awesome. Call us and take us out to breakfast and share your feedback about what you feel. Secondly, and this came from our elders that feel really important. So I want to spend enough time on this to do a diligence. When somebody becomes a new member here at St. Peter's, we have a covenant that we ask new members to sign. And that covenant basically says, I'm going to support the work and ministry of St. Peter's. When somebody comes into the church, we ask two things. One, we want to know that they're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And secondly, we ask them to commit to serving this church in one way or another through your giving, sure, absolutely, but beyond our giving, through prayer support, through serving, through getting involved in different ministries. And part of that covenant is each new member signing it and saying, I'm supporting the vision of St. Peter's to prepare people for eternity, and I'm just not just going to say it, I'm going to do something about my support. Those of you that have been around for a long time, some of you, this is the only church you've ever attended in 90 years or more of your life. Praise God for that faithfulness. You've never seen our membership covenant. You don't know what it looks like. And so we're going to give you an opportunity to see it, to pray through it, and consider it for yourself. So two of our elders are going to pass out those membership covenants right now. We encourage everyone to take one. Even if you're not a member at St. Peter's right now, maybe you're considering membership, maybe you're thinking about it, look through this covenant. We would ask all of our active members, as you prayerfully consider it, to sign it. And then in our mailbox section, there's a mailbox for consistory president. Just stick it in that mailbox and those will be collected. And we hope that every one of you will fill one out, will sign it and say, yes, we've heard the vision from the leadership at St. Peter's. We are 100% behind it. And we want to see growth in our church, in our community going forward. And finally, here's the big picture, just to draw everybody back to the big idea for our vision. And it's something that everybody can remember. When somebody says to you, where do you worship? You can say, I worship at St. Peter's. And they say, tell me what St. Peter's is about. And you can just say this. We're all about preparing people for eternity. That's what God has called this church to do. Again, whether it's from our youth and children all the way up to our teenagers and every age group in between. We want to be actively preparing people for eternity, finding those who don't know Jesus Christ and introducing them to him, and those that do know Christ, helping them to grow in that relationship and faith walk with him. Big breath. This was a lot of work to put together. I am so appreciative to the elders and to their wives who spent many hours strategizing, praying, reading scripture, and seeking the Lord. And for those of you who may not understand the process, we weren't afraid to challenge one another as part of this building process. There were many meetings where we weren't in agreement. And the way our leadership here at St. Peter's works is we never move forward in a decision if we're not unanimous. And so we kept meeting, we kept praying, we kept studying, we kept challenging each other, until we all got to be in agreement in terms of the plan of the way forward. It was a lot of work, and it took a lot of honesty for everyone to share their hearts of where they felt God was calling us. I'm grateful for our leadership and what they did to bring this to the point where it can be presented to all of you. And now we pray that everybody will get busy and get involved in preparing this community, our country, and our world for eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen out there? Let's pray. Father, it seems such a mammoth task to prepare people for eternity. It's a task that if we're honest with ourselves, none of us individually are up to it. None of us can be doing that. Your word tells us that all of our filthiness is like, all of our righteousness is like filthy rags.